a really slow learner because although I've understood so much intellectually, until it got into my cells and dug in and I allowed myself to acknowledge it and feel it, wow, it's been a hell of a journey. A hell of a journey.
Yeah, best time of my life, I think.
Well, yeah, you know that I feel that too. I think that this last third of my life is unfolding into something so unexpected. And you know, I'm allowing it. My word for this year is surrender.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Makes my mind go crazy. Makes my mind go crazy, but I said, hey, that's the deal. Hang around, surrender.
Everything surrender until it's someone's late, right? And then you get all your time. So it's funny. So I'm going to be 60 in a year and a half. So I like every decade I sort of freak out. And like at 20 I got married, 30 I went back to college, 40 I divorced my first husband, 50 I ran away from home, and now 60 I'm trying to brace myself for.
I think it's fabulous. Well, you're a baby girl. You're a baby girl. I am gonna be 70 this year. And that is
No freaking way.
fucking shocking to me. Yes, ma'am.
Shut up. You look 55.
Oh,
Seriously.
tell me some more. Tell me
Oh,
some more.
seriously, girl. Oh my gosh. I am. Excuse me. I have to go freak out in the bathroom. Seriously, you look fantastic.
You. And we're talking no fillers, no Botox, no lifts, no nothing. But these cheekbones, these are my grandmother's cheekbones. These are my grandmother's cheekbones. She was a little Italian lady. Her name was taller than she was. Antonietta Calabrese Mastroianni.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley, and I'm your host for this podcast. What is up, people? Yes, I started my podcast today with a clip from my friend, my guest, Audria, because I just thought it was so fun. She was just such a fun interview, and it was the pre-interview where we just chatted about what we were going to talk about and some things that I typically don't include that stuff in the audio portion of my podcast. But if you go to the video portion, you will find it there on the YouTube, which I'll put all the information you need to know down in the show notes, including the information on my guest today. She just has this presence about her that just draws you in. She was an opera singer for many years, and she'll tell the story about how that got started. And she was just going, 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 90 miles an hour, wearing this persona, and she hit a wall, and she knew she had to change her life. So this is her story of transformation, why she left the stage, and how she is now using those talents and skills to help women over 50 be heard and be seen. Before we get to the episode, real quickly, go to the YouTube channel, watch all of my interviews there, click the subscribe button. And also, I have a Patreon account for this podcast. If you want to be a podcast ambassador and support this DIY independent, no ads, no sponsors podcast, support it just because you love it as much as I do, hit the Patreon button down below in the show notes. Okay, friends, on to my interview with Audria. The things I'd like to touch on is if you are able to help women who aren't necessarily, you know, an opera singer or are going to be on stage or anything like that, but if what you teach helps women just learn to speak up.
Why do you think my Facebook group is called Speak Out, Be Seen, and Lead? It has nothing to do, Shelley, and this is interesting to me. I'm teaching what I need to learn. Yes, I was on stage for over half my life. Of course I was. Yeah, I mean, that's a fact. from 10 years old until 50 when I hit a wall, and we're talking burnout major, okay? And I realized, I don't know who I am now. I don't know what I want to do. I have worn an avatar, and I've been hiding in the spotlight for 40 years. And
I
who
find
the fuck am I?
I find that so interesting because when I was on your website and reading about you, it seems to me like that would be like a life purpose or a life goal.
I thought it was. I thought it
But
was.
so what was it about? I mean, so that's really no different than my stories we were talking before we started this, was that
Yeah.
we play these roles and we have
Roles.
this avatar. So what, let's see, what's the question I want to form here for you? So you hit 50 and you'd been playing, you had this avatar that really wasn't you. And why was that? What was it about? What was happening or going on? Or was it a trigger or something that happened? Or you just figured, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore.
One literal exhaustion, because when you travel the world, I'm so grateful. I mean, really, I had
Yeah, what great experiences. Yeah.
an extraordinary career
Yeah.
in which I've seen most of the world. And I got to a point where I thought, if I have to see one more airport and or one more hotel, no matter how gorgeous, one more theater, I'll die. I'll just die. And I didn't realize with the clarity that I had in retrospect, which we always do, of course, when you can't figure out where the dots were until you look back and see how you connected them. And I realized that I had been wearing this fabulous avatar, Carmen. Carmen is a gypsy who's bold and brave, and nobody can tell her what to do. That wasn't me at all, but oh boy, I put that on like one of those
Yeah.
decals on a bus
Yeah.
that it covers the whole bus. So the ironic thing is, I was running from abuse. I look at it as I ran away to the circus, and the circus was much more beautiful than my life. And I didn't realize that it was beautiful. I didn't realize that I was running to beauty because it was abuse. That was all I knew. And when you are used like bait by your parents, by a pathologically narcissistic mother, by a sociopath father, who are my greatest teachers, don't get me wrong, they were my greatest teachers, but not while you're going through it. When you're going through it, you think you're going to die. And so Nina, my grandmother, loved opera. And I said, I love her and she loves me. She loved me if I was pretty, if I was ugly, if I was stupid, if I was. She just loved me. And there was no reason why, just she just did. And she loved opera, but she loved opera not like you put on gorgeous things and you go sit at the Metropolitan. No, these smelly players would leap out of a little cart in Calabria, Italy, and perform Cavalleria Rusticana, and you would go, damn, wow, it's life and murder and passion and love, and isn't it great? Well, she would tell me the stories, Shelley, I would cry. I said, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. I know I can make that noise. And I was able to. And so because someone loved that, and ironically, my mother, the only thing she did love, she would tell everybody she met, I never wanted a child. She's a miracle. And I didn't
That's
think
not
that was
funny. I'm
unusual.
sorry.
No,
That's shocking, actually.
but of course it's shocking, but I didn't know it was. Shelley, I didn't know it was. I thought that's what everybody does. So she worshipped the singer. When she realized that I was a singer, oh my God, it was like boom, the jaws, had me. And When I decided I was going to go to Italy, which is really where I found my voice, I mean, really, that's where I really learned how to sing. I mean, I'd been performing since I was 10, but it was an incredible experience. But I didn't realize that I had run away to the beauty of an artificial world. And I placed this fabulous character on top of me, who had a lot in common with me, her lust for freedom. I mean, I bought myself a new perfume this Christmas, and it's called Livre. It's called Free. It might even be called fucking free for all I know. But you know, there's just this thing that I escaped to something that was more beautiful. And then the passion when I started teaching, and my students at the university began teaching me about what their insecurities were, how they felt, how they didn't believe in themselves. And I realized I spent 10% of the lesson teaching them how to sing. The rest was how to present themselves, put your shoulders back, show your heart, you're worth something. The world needs you, not somebody like you, you. And I saw them changing, Shelley. And I went, oh my God. This is what I'm supposed to. This is my purpose. I gathered all these skills all these years so that I had this basket of skills. And I see them shifting, and I see women that I work with all of a sudden looking in a mirror. When I give them a five tips in makeup, they look in the mirror and they're going, God, I've got eyes. I never saw my eyes before. I said, yeah, you're beautiful. How about that? Wow, this is incredible. Shelley, it's so exciting. It's so exciting. It gets me up in the morning. I'm still in a lousy situation relationship-wise. I have a husband who's mentally ill. So you repeat patterns. You repeat patterns, and I'm in the process of getting out of that pattern. But the thing that gets me up and makes me turn on is this passion, is this thing that I know I can do and that I must do.
So let me ask you a question. You said that you play Carmen on stage,
I
correct?
did, yes.
My daughter and I love opera. She lives in Wichita.
Really?
Yes, so
Wichita.
we go to the opera there. And we were
Cool.
supposed to see Don Giovanni twice, but it's been rescheduled
Of
because of
course, of
COVID. So
course.
hopefully in May. But I love it. I love it. And we saw Carmen a couple of years ago. But I know what was my question? I didn't even think we did. I didn't even introduce you. I'll have to do that. We just started talking. Isn't that funny? We just started yakking.
We just,
So
yeah.
yeah. So. I'll do that. I'll edit all that out and I'll do that later. So,
Okay.
I guess, okay. So you played Carmen on stage.
Yes.
So did you, and then you were, what you're, are you telling me is that you also were Carmen in,
I was Carmen in life too.
life, but.
What I did, now I played many, many roles on stage, but I was very notorious for that one, okay? I loved Amneris and Aida. I did Man of La Mancha. I always had one foot in music theater and the other foot in opera. I always did both. And I think that kept me very honest on stage. It really, you can't go into posturing or hide behind the potted palm because you just have to be, you know, you're there, okay? And that excited me very, very much. I just thought, wow, I love this. And ironically, and this is so funny, in my life, I repeated patterns of abuse by the people with whom I had relationships with. In my career, Shelley, nobody, we're talking nobody messed with me. They loved me to death, and I loved them to death. But it was, don't you come any closer. I met Pavarotti. And this was when I was still at the university. Okay. My teacher took Sherry and I to see Pavarotti. And so we were all excited. My heavens, we were sitting in the front row. It was so
Oh, I
exciting.
bet.
Oh my God. And so we go backstage, and Sherry was this gorgeous, gorgeous young woman with these huge eyes and caramel colored skin. And he looks at her and he went, Bellezza! And he puts his hands on her waist and lifted her up and plants his huge kiss on her mouth. And Shelley's eyes were about this big. And he put her down and looked at me and went like this and went, La madre superiora. Oh, the mother superior. Because there's something in my eyes that said, don't you dare.
As close as you could get, mister.
There was something, and see, it was partly that avatar, because that avatar would never allow anything like that. If she had sex or she had a relationship, it was on her terms, not on anybody. You're not going to use me the way I was used in my life.
So that doesn't really open you up to a lot of possibilities or things if you just because
You're right.
I was that way too for a long time. And
You too.
oh yeah, so one of the funny things is I was looking at this morning is like I've been in not for profit for a long time. I ask people for money. That's my job. So one of the things my coworkers would say about me is that I was stylish, I was outspoken, I was this, I was that. But
Yes.
that when I went back into my office, that really wasn't me. I was like, and you, I don't know if you felt like this too, but one of the things I remember breaking down in my office once when a coworker who I really admired was talking about how great I was. And I just broke down. I said, listen, I'm a poser.
Wow.
You have no idea. I'm a complete loser in
The
real life.
imposter syndrome. And it's not true what we're
No.
thinking. That's
Right,
not true.
exactly. So, I sort of, even though mine was a little different, I sort of felt like you still were an imposter because you were playing this role your entire life trying to,
Absolutely.
and
Absolutely.
it's really just a way to keep the hurt and pain at bay so that we don't, because I grew up with abusive parents, not in the way that you did, and then I married a narcissist.
We repeat the patterns because we know that this is the devil that we know, so we don't go somewhere else.
No, it's very comfortable.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I think really fascinating too is that when we think of transformations, we usually think of people like myself that, ended up at the train
Yes,
tracks drinking too much or whatever. But it's not true. I have interviewed a lot of women who talk about how they felt like they had this thing that we were supposed to have, but it either really wasn't their thing or they were just so tired of doing it that they have their train track moment, as I call it.
that makes absolute sense to me because I could no longer. When I didn't feel the joy, because I really did, I felt this passionate joy in rehearsal. I loved rehearsal even more than performance. It was because it was the only place I was allowed to play. And so it was play and it was joyous, and I could push the envelope as far as I wanted and try to create this character. And I loved that. But at a certain point, I was so tired and I couldn't pretend this artificial fire that was going out. The coals were just burning down. The fire was burning down. And I just felt, I can't do this. I even started a construction company for my husband. Did I know anything about construction? No, but I did it, didn't I? And I thought, why didn't I ever start a business for me? I started a business for him. So again, repeating patterns. Taking care of other people instead of saying one thing that my philosopher con man father used to say was monkey in Spanish, he would say, monkey, look at your own tail. Well, I was too busy picking out the fleas from everybody else to look at my own tail because I wouldn't have liked what I saw. So it's been 20 years of peeling this incredible Chinese lacquer that I applied to myself in such fine layers that if you dropped me, I would have bounced. Not cracked, I would have bounced. And I just thought, no, I got to get to the essence of who I am and what I'm here to do, because if not, it's not worth being alive. And for most of my life, Shelley, I can say to you, I didn't want to be alive.
Yeah. Oh, I
When I
hear
was
you.
by myself and quiet and I wasn't playing, I didn't want to be alive.
You are not the first woman who has said that to me. There's been a lot of women on my podcast who've come in. It's extremely morbid, but
Yes.
that's like a first option for them. It's like, well, I'll just, end my life. And I don't think
I'll
we're
just leave.
necessarily, wanting to end anything. We just want to get rid of the pain.
Of the pain. And the only thing I think this other knowledge or deeper, higher, whatever you want to call it, knowledge that said to me, hey, if you leave, you're just going to have to do it again. Do you really have the compassion and the strength to go through all of this again? And my answer was, oh God, no. Oh no, I couldn't go through this again. I just couldn't bear it.
No,
Just
I,
couldn't
yeah.
bear it.
So you talked about figuring out who you were, I can't remember exactly how you phrased it, finding your essence. How did
Yes.
how do we do that? How do we go about doing that? Especially if you've like been Carmen for half your life. That's why I'm gonna name my alter ego Carmen. Like Carmen's my, yeah.
Well, Carmen is such a fascinating character. She's
She
such a
is.
great archetype,
Yeah, she is.
you
Yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
and that's why she dies in the opera. That's why she dies in the Prosper Mary May story,
Yeah, yeah.
because she was a disruptor. She
Oh, yeah.
disrupted society. She did things her way. She had her rules.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
should be so bold, you know, as she was. So I think that being willing, I didn't start out this way, but being willing to fail, being willing to try things that I didn't know and that I thought I didn't like, because I had a colleague of mine who was on some of these world tours that I did come to me and say, well, come to the university and teach. And I went, oh, no, I don't want to teach. I'm not interested in teaching. Oh, no, teaching, absolutely not. 17 years later, I'm still teaching and I'm a teacher. Oh my God, am I a teacher? I didn't realize it. So I had to walk through the resistance. I had to walk through the fear of not being enough, not being good enough. If I wasn't playing some role, was just plain old me good enough? And also, I remember playing Carmen, I learned tarot. My first tarot deck I bought in London at Foyle's bookstore back in the 1970s. Okay. Well, I have a Zen deck, and the one of the cards is ordinariness. I remember how insulted I was. My ego
Don't you
went,
dare call me ordinary.
oh no, excuse me. Well, the being willing to realize that we all smell if we don't take a bath. I don't care how brilliant you are, how many degrees or letters after your name, you're a human, and we're a human having a spiritual experience, or a spiritual being having a human experience. Sometimes it's one or the other, or both at the same time. The willingness to be still, I'm going to say it's been since I started the journey to myself, and I realized I am the artist of my life and I am responsible for my life. I don't care who did what to me. How I deal with that is up to me. I have a choice and take off the frappin' hair shirt and decide what, if you don't like this, then change it because you have the power to do that. So being willing to do that and getting still, I started meditation many, many years ago. Meditation and journaling and gratitude. I'm going to say that those three things, Shelley, those have been the key transformers. Because when you journal, it took me a long time to be able to journal Not elegantly, but just journal.
Yeah.
I feel like hell today.
Yeah.
Everything's black today. I hate everybody and everybody hates me. And you just need,
Yeah.
oh, no. I have a song for you since you like opera. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I've got to eat a worm. So I would write various iterations of that in my journal, and then
Yeah,
I would throw them
but
out.
yeah.
And the getting still, the contacting the self inside that is the big self, that big starship of soul that we all are, having the guts, I'm getting goosebumps, it's having the guts to get still enough to actually listen to that and to follow it when it pulls you from here and this doesn't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's pulling you. It's telling you to do something else. It's being willing, being humble enough to get out of your intellect. And I think it's harder for those of us that are smart. We try to always figure things out. We always want to know why.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big why.
Aren't you a big why?
The
It's like,
why before the
well,
how.
why? But why? But
Oh,
why? I mean, it's like, like one of those birds.
I'm a theory geek, all about the theory.
Yes. And so we can take refuge in that. And so when I'm willing to put the theory and the why down, and I'm feeling this knowing, it's like me happening onto your group, hearing you for just a few minutes. And I went, I have to write to this woman. I must speak with her, and we must speak with each other, and there's something to do. And I went, well, but that doesn't, and I went, just be quiet.
Yeah.
I don't care whether it makes sense or not, just do it.
Shut the hell up and do
Shut
it.
the hell up and just do it and just act, okay?
You make such great points, and I have said this repeatedly, so kiddos listening, three extremely important things. You have to take responsibility for your life. I mean,
100%.
I get it. I have been kicked and spit on and made fun of and hit as a kid and it just all sorts of things. We all have had those moments. But ultimately, like you said, I'm a grown ass woman, so therefore I have decide how I'm going to live my own life. Being still, it was when I was in Colorado, when you're on a trail and climbing a 14er, you get super still. But it's really scary being with your own thoughts.
Isn't it though,
It's super
when there are
scary.
no distractions?
Yeah, super scary to be with your own thoughts. And then the third thing, which I'm huge on, is to try new things. I have done more after the age of 50 than I did my first 50 years. And some of them, like writing copy for RV website, ugh, hated it, you know? But you can do that. You can try this. It doesn't mean you're married to it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, and it is scary. It was scary going out to Colorado. I'm sure it was, scary, trying to figure out how you're going to leave Carmen behind after all those years. Because
Yes, she
now
was stuck
who
to
are
me.
you? If you're not
Yes.
Carmen, who are you?
Who am I?
But
Exactly.
you don't know. You can never figure out who you are if you don't try all the
You don't
things.
try.
I started this podcast a year and a half ago, and believe me, I was
That's
terrified.
all, really?
What would people
Just a year and a
think?
half.
Would they like me? Would they? And then I get
Wow.
through it and I'm like, I don't care. I like it. But trust me,
That's it.
it takes a while for, anything that, my listeners that you want to try. It takes a while, and there are still fears that will come in, but once you
Sure.
truly find something that brings you joy, you automatically just don't care what people think about it.
And
Just like a byproduct of.
yes, because we're much more interdirected now that we're older,
Oh, yeah.
And so we're not listening to the clamoring of the world because we've also contacted our silence. And once you Once you click into that is a power that is like I've never felt. It's extraordinary. It's other things just don't matter as much. They just don't
Exactly.
matter. And I tell that to my students and to my coaching clients. I say to them, risk, try, experiment. It's even a relationship. If you go into a store and you try on shoes, that doesn't mean you have to buy them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the purpose of trying them on and saying, does this work for me? Not what somebody else is going to say, but does it work for me? And that is so empowering. It's
It
so
is.
empowering, Shelley.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, our time's almost up here, but before we go, I have other things. I've got things for you. So, before we started the podcast, one of the things that I had, I want you to talk about how you help people out in the world. And we'll put all your information down in the show notes. But let's say, I'm just a regular person. I'm not an opera singer. I don't plan on speaking on stage. How can I learn to speak up? How can I have that presence? Because that's really what you help people do.
That is my passion, is that. Now, I chose the niche, the very narrow niche right now of making client attracting videos for women who are entrepreneurs. Because my showbiz life is long gone. It's way far behind me. I'm passionate and I'm intense, but that's who I am as Audria. So what I love doing is if, especially since we have been wrapped in this worldwide pandemic, we have had to become much more conversant with a camera. And being in a camera's eye is very different than being on stage. A camera is more intimate, and a camera sees behind your eyes. And so when I help, especially women, I also work with men, but especially women, because I really want women to speak out and be seen and lead, is that I want them to become more comfortable with who they are. I want them, and I've got fabulous techniques to help them fall in love with themselves on camera. Because that is the largest, Shelley, the largest objection that I hear from my clients is, oh, Audrey, I hate the way I look on camera. I hate the way I sound on camera. I've got all these brilliant ideas, and that light goes on, and I go, a deer in headlights. Audria, I can't do this. And I'm saying one of the biggest shifts, and let me just give your viewers this one little tip. It's just a little tiny tip. When that camera goes on and you go, is take a picture of someone or something that you love and put that right there beside the
Oh,
camera
I love
or
that.
just above the camera or just below the camera. And you're talking to one person. I'm talking to my grandmother.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I love that.
My little grandmother. Like I said, she loved me. She just,
Yeah,
period,
yeah.
just loved me. So when I talk to Nina, do you see what it does to my voice? Do
Yeah.
you see what it does to my expression? Because I'm talking to her. I am not, and this is the other thing, is we think that when we get on camera, when we get on stage, that we are asking someone to approve of us. The main thing that I do is, We're going to turn that around completely. I want you to approve of you. And instead of show and tell, like when we were little kids, let me tell you about this pen. My mommy gave this pen and it's really nice. And no, I'm so excited by this pen. Oh my goodness, I got this pen. You just click it and it goes out and in and it writes this really cool black line. It's like a little child in a sandbox in the Florida sun, and she's eating M&Ms, and there's sand, and the M&Ms are melting in her hands, and she sees you, and she loves you, and she says, "You want some?" That's the way we need to be. Turned on by what we love. And when we are sharing, this is the key word. When we are sharing what we are turned on by with someone that we love, that picture right below the camera, then everything is different. Then I'm not asking you to approve of me, to hate me or love me. No, what is my value to you? What kind of pointers, what kind of tips can I give you to be able to reveal yourself to the camera's eye? Because you have something of value to give. And that is my passion, is that whether you are a business owner, whether you're a professional woman, whether you are going to a grocery store and someone has given you something that's spoiled, to be able to say, "I'm sorry, I don't want this, take it back." Just to be able to speak up for ourselves. We women, forgive me, man, you put a quarter in me, Shelley. We women will save the world. We will save the world. Our energy is needed. We are needed. And I'm so passionate about that that it makes my hair curly. I mean, really, I know that our, especially the wise women that we are, we need to give it to the younger ones. We need to keep spreading this so that people are transformed, so that the women believe in themselves. We don't need anyone's approval. We don't need a stamp of approval. We are magnificent beings. In the 15th century, in some areas, we were revered. Well, baby, it's about time we could say, "Revere me. I'm here. Okay.
Oh, I
Please
love it. Oh
be
my
who
gosh,
I am."
that brought tears to my eyes, seriously. Oh my gosh, that was me.
Shelly, I just, thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to explode with what's inside of me. I've been hiding for 20 years, and now I'm visible again, and I have to teach what I know.
Well, I love it. I love it. Hey, thank you so much for joining. Oh, I love this. We'll have to have you
It's been a
back.
joy.
So you have a Facebook group, Speak
I
Out,
do.
Be Seen.
Speak out, be seen.
Okay.
And what I sent you, I don't know if you saw the second email that I sent
I
you.
did, but there wasn't a link to it.
I was being so efficient. There we go. See, perfect. Throw it out the window. What you want to do is go to audriafirestone.com/gift. On that page, they're going to see a little meditation that I did, which I hope will be of value. Okay, I did it with a wonderful musician friend of mine. And then there is a link to join the group if they wish, and to hop into a discovery session with me. It's absolutely free. It's whatever we need to find out how you and or your business want to show up in the world. Let's just keep doing this, and then we're going to be downright dangerous.
Yay, about time. Okay. Well, hey, thanks so much again. I really appreciate it. And to all of my listeners, until next time, stay awesome.